Thanks very much, Dave. It's really good to be with you. Happy New Year to you all. I want to speak this morning about something that will encourage you all to step forward. And we're having some people who are stepping back in some ways or stepping aside from responsibilities, but also, and that's okay, that's fine. There are seasons when we take responsibilities in some areas, then we have to hand them over. But I'm sure the men that we've honored this morning will also be available with other gifts and other talents in different parts of the life of the church. And what I want to speak about this morning is being set apart by God for the mission, for the work that He's called you to. And that includes us all. It's not just whether you're a chair of trustees or whether you are an elder or whatever. It's your role that you have. And God has a place and a role for you in the local church and in the kingdom and in His mission. I want to encourage you. So no more stepping back, okay? We're all going to step forward. Is that fair enough? Yes. You're not sure, are you? Some of you say, well, I'll wait and see. We'll just see. And the truth is, we have all sorts of challenges in our lives. There's all sorts of reasons why we feel disqualified or can't serve or can't help. Some people are better than us sometimes. We're going through personal challenges or family or work challenges. But actually, we need to make sure that we can still serve others even through that. And sometimes what God's teaching you in your difficulties is useful as you serve others. What you learning about God in your difficulties doesn't disqualify you from helping others. Sometimes it enhances what you have to bring to others with relevance of God's goodness, God's relevance to you in your situation, and you can help others. And even though we get older, I've been retired now a couple of years from leading a church in Woking, I'm still available in some ways. I don't want to give up retirement. You don't really retire from God's call and God's service. Your role might change, your kind of income source might change, but the other thing is that God still wants to use you. And I want and pray this morning that you'll be available to Him. As I've just mentioned, stepped down from leading a church a couple of years ago. I'm heading quite soon to my 70th birthday and looking forward to that. And also looking forward to whatever else God has. I was here a few months ago, and since then, Pam and I traveled to Brazil. I had the privilege of going out to Brazil to speak at a conference there to meet with people who are on mission. Brazil's been well known for exporting some good things like nuts and Catholic priests and also good footballers. And as a Liverpool supporter, I'm very grateful for good Brazilian footballers who have helped us to do well over the years. But actually now they're increasingly sending people out on mission all over the world. And we were part of a mission group and serving people who are returning from mission, but also speaking to a big conference there. And it was good to get involved in the local church. And so we're still being available as we can to serve the Lord. And as I've mentioned, God wants you to be available to Him. All local churches are different. You have different values sometimes in churches. You have different vision. You have a peculiar vision each local church should have. A peculiar vision, depending on the call of God, the word of God to that church, or the gifting and strengths of leaders and elders and so on. And so each local church is different. There are some common complaints, like the music's too loud, or it's too quiet, or the sermons are too long or too short, or nobody visited my cat when it was ill. Those sort of relevant things that go on. There's often complaints about church, but mostly God is calling us to a mission. However we work that out, to be a witness and relevant to those around us. And of foundational importance to each church is the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit. We as a family of churches within New Frontiers and Commission were born out of renewal in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And we moved on from just being touched and baptized in the Holy Spirit to looking at our church, how the churches were made up, how they were led, and those sort of things. And we're still on a journey. We don't know it all. We're not experts. We still want to be teachable in all the things. But we thank God for what he's taught us in building church. And this church has been an important part in continuing a good witness in Shepparton and beyond. But foundational importance to us is the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit. So even though we were baptized in the Spirit maybe decades ago, we're still enjoying the power and the presence of God the Holy Spirit. Even though maybe we used the spiritual gift the first time many years ago, we're still open to using it today. Rather than it being something that God has given to us that we have buried or we're not using or we feel disqualified in using it. And we're going to look at the Antioch church, and I'm going to read from Acts chapter 13 and just the first few verses. This church was born out of persecution in Jerusalem. People from there went, and they went to Antioch, and they started telling people, rather than quieting down, persecution in some way made them more active in their witness, bolder in their witness. And they were witnessing not just to Jews, but to Greeks as well. And people were getting saved and added. So the church in Jerusalem, some of the apostles who had stayed there, sent a guy called Barnabas, who, as you know, was a great man of encouragement. And he was sent to check out what was happening. The apostles in those days often sent their emissaries out or went out themselves to check what was happening. It happened when Philip went to Samaria and there was healing and a town was changed. Peter and John went just to check and see, were they baptized in the Spirit? Were they filled with the Spirit? The apostles weren't kind of trying to find fault, but they wanted to make sure the churches were built on good and solid foundations. So Barnabas went, and he saw evidence of the grace of God there. And then, as he sees evidence, we'll refer to some of that in a few moments, he actually then moves on, that there's this like meeting that's going on, worshipping and fasting. I guess praying is in there, but it's not mentioned in this passage in the meeting, but they must have been praying and worshipping God, that God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to them. And this is an amazing time for the church. Last time I was here, I think I preached from Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church. And you could say in some way, this is the birth of worldwide mission, although mission had already started. From Antioch, it went out to other nations through Paul and Barnabas and others that he took with them. So I want to read from Acts chapter 13, just the first few verses. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So, let's see about this outstanding church, because it was an outstanding church. When I led a church in Woking, we wanted to be like an Antioch church. Lots of churches should want to be like the Antioch church, that actually continue to be witnesses and continue to be relevant, but also a resourcing church to serve mission throughout the world, and also a receiving church. And this is what they did. They received Barnabas and then Saul, who was later to become Paul. They received them and their ministry into the life of the church. And Barnabas went, as I mentioned, and saw evidence of the grace of God. If you look through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see three key components, many other components. First of all, these people were people of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They enjoyed the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They moved in the power of the Spirit. And that's why this series is important. We cannot do church without God the Holy Spirit. You cannot do faith and obedience and the works that you want to do without the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go, but it's better for you that I go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to do greater works. So whereas the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus and he was doing great works now, we saw it in Acts 2. The Spirit is poured out on people, men and women, young and old, and we can all be available, not just to prophesy, but to do works of obedience and works of service. So one key component was they were people of the Spirit. The second key component was the grace of God, because their religion had become just legalistic. It was wrapped up in rules and laws and rites, and that's what it was. It was a religion where it seemed as if you were doing things to please God. That was never God's intention. And now they bring the grace of God. We're saved through faith in Jesus. Faith in him and all he has done makes us right with God, not our works. But because we do have faith in him, because he's touched us, then our lives are different. And we seek to serve. And also, you'll notice through the book of Acts, a sense of togetherness. There wasn't any real independence or isolation where people were operating slightly independent. They were helped and met by others and brought into a team situation. It's not that we can't work as individuals, but God has given us one another. And a strong thing about the Acts of the Apostles, obviously, they didn't plant individuals, they planted churches, communities that could be helping one another, where there was leadership, acknowledgement of gifts. And that's what's happening here. Antioch was a world-changing church. And you could say that world evangelism was born out of these series of maybe worship meetings or this gathering together. We noticed there was a diversity of people, not just their ethnic background, but maybe also their culture. There was also a diversity of gifts. They were recognizing some prophets, some were teachers. This was early in the life of the church, but they seemed to acknowledge that some people had prophetic ministry, some had a teaching ministry, and there were probably other gifts. They'd already received prophetic ministry when Agabus turned up and said he prophesied a famine in Judea, and this church said, oh, we'll get a gift together. And please, Paul and Barnabas took a gift down to Jerusalem from the Antioch church. They also had a charismatic leader. If this was a description of maybe the leadership group, it may or may not be, it's not clear. But at least they were open to God. They were charismatic in gifting. We're going to be praying for two new elders later on. We want them to be people of integrity, of good character, who care for people. But we also want them, and they're not primarily appointed for this, but we also want them to be released in their gifts and recognized in their gifts. But we want all to be recognized in their gifts, not just the elders, not just the prophets, not just the teachers. This was a charismatic leadership. And as a new eldership is formed here, let me encourage you to be charismatic in your leadership. There are things that need to be organized, things that need to be planned. But let's be open to God and what he's saying by his Spirit, through his word to us in that. Being led by the Holy Spirit. And also, this is a church that was seeking God. There was fasting. There was worshiping. I can say this because I'm not here to check who's going to come. I want to encourage you to be part of the week of prayer. Put it in your diary. Try and be part of it. It's not as if you're on a register whether you've been there or not. It's not a checklist. But if you're part of this church, there's benefits as you come and pray. Because we believe, not in our prayers, but we believe in a great God who answers our prayers. And as you pray about big topics that were about the church, God will also encourage you in some of the topics that you're facing in your life as well. I'm sure there's going to be times, not just when you're praying about topics, but open to God speaking through the Holy Spirit. This was a church seeking God. And then not just seeking God, but when God speaks, responding to God. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul. And what did they do? They didn't just write it in their notes. Well, that was a good word. They did something about it. And they set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that God had called them to. So we need to be seeking God. And I would say, if God speaks prophetically to you when you have your week of prayer, and that is affirmed, comes a good witness to prophecies and your leaders will help you in that, then let's be those who respond to God. That's what was outstanding about this church. So it was a sending church, a mission church, then hiding because of persecution. They were still witnessing. They weren't just involved in maintenance and local ministry. They had a burden through the Holy Spirit calling Barnabas and Saul to apostolic mission throughout the world. So they had a strategy. They had to change things. If Barnabas and Saul were going to go, then other people need to play their part. We all need. And if you as a church are going to send people, continue to send people, then you need others to come through to fill some of those gaps as it happens. It was a strategic church following its peculiar call that the Holy Spirit was giving to it to be a mission base. And that's what happens here. And it was also a giving and sacrificing church. They'd already given gifts to the believers in Judea where the famine was prophesied. But now they're giving two of their best, you could say. Now, they're not the best in God's eyes. We're all the best in God's eyes. But actually, in the sense of those with prominent leadership and ministry, they're giving away Barnabas and Saul. Say, oh, no, don't let them go. Who else is going to preach? They're brilliant preachers. When you hear Saul or Paul as he was going to preach, he's got real revelation. And we know he had revelation from God. And sometimes when you're a mission church, it means sometimes a cost to the local church. When I started leading the Coin Church many, many years ago, I knew that part of my ministry was going to be out and about. And I asked the church and other people, apostolic figures came in and said to the Coin Church, we want you to be a resourcing church, an Antioch church. So this means that Malcolm won't be here all the time. He may travel. Now, half of my congregation were delighted that I would be traveling. But they didn't tell me. They were too frightened to tell me that. But the thing is, sometimes there is a cost when people go on mission. There's a cost financially as you support people as well. So it was an outstanding church. It was also a spirit-directed church. They were worshiping, fasting, praying, seeking God. As I said, Acts is a story of people filled with the Holy Spirit. People gifted by the Holy Spirit. There was a partnership between God, the Holy Spirit, and the believers. And later on, the Jerusalem Council, when they're discussing matters of circumcision or different matters of Jewish law that were creeping back into the Christian faith at that time, they send out a letter that says, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. Good to the Holy Spirit and to us. There was a sense of partnership. Do you understand? It wasn't that God has spoken. Oh, but there was also a partnership. We own this. We're not just saying God said. We're saying we've heard God speak and we are with what has been said. And we're supporting what has been said. So there was a good corporate nature of New Testament mission. There were teams. There was plurality of elders. Very soon, Barnabas and Paul are going to go off and they're planting churches. And then, reasonably quickly, they go back to those churches and they appoint elders. They generally appoint plurality of elders where there's teams together, not one individual, not one pastor, maybe a leader, whatever, but certainly teams of people who are working together. And in Antioch here, the Holy Spirit speaks to a church gathering. We're not told exactly how he did that. But I guess because there were prophets there, it could well have been a prophetic word. It might well have been a lively discussion where someone had an idea and the Holy Spirit caught it. But I would guess probably it's through a prophetic word that God speaks to them. Then that is to be weighed and considered. And the Holy Spirit speaks to people gathering together. That's why I want to encourage you. Next week, try and be at some of the prayer meetings because God might speak to you. He might speak to you about your gift, your situation, your calling. It may not just be about Alpha, all right? It may not just be about the elders. It may be about you. And in times of worship together, that's why I feel in some way you can miss out when you don't gather together. It says in Hebrews, let's continue to meet together because there's lots of encouragement in that. There's lots of encouragement. It's not just that you attend and tick a list, well, I went on a Sunday or a prayer meeting. It's that you're part of the community, and in amazing ways, if we're open to the Spirit, He speaks to you and encourages you. So your prayer meeting is to come pray, but also you can find a wonderful benefit is that God speaks to you and encourages you. The Holy Spirit speaks into a church gathering. The Holy Spirit doesn't give all the details or the timing, not here. They just say Barnabas and Saul are called to the work. They don't really know all the details. It's a bit like Abraham who was sent going, go to a place I will show you. And Abraham left, but he didn't know exactly. And we use that for a lot now, going, not knowing. Sometimes God's called. See, that's difficult for us. It's difficult for me because I like to know the end from the beginning. I'm reasonably ordered in my thinking. I like to know what's the outcome that we're going for. How's it going to work out? You know, as a boy, I was growing up, my parents said, I was always cautious sometimes about going on play things. I was robust in sport and playing cricket and football and everything like that. But sometimes going on some mechanical thing, I was more cautious. I wanted to know how it worked. And that wasn't necessarily because I was mechanical. I just didn't want my neck breaking. And sometimes we can be like that with God. We want to know the end from the beginning. But sometimes God just says, right, start. Start. And God might say to you in the week's ahead, this is where I want you to go. Start. Start. You may not know the end, but you can trust God. See, it's not enough just for the Holy Spirit to speak. That is not enough. What is needed is obedience and faith. That's what's needed. That's what brings the fruitfulness. And through that will often be a big dose of perseverance as well that is needed. He didn't give all the details. He reveals His will, and He does that today. He does it through His word. So we don't need always to be waiting for a prophetic word. We kind of charismatics can be said, oh, we're just waiting for a prophecy. No, God's already spoken. Let's read His word and know God's word for us. We are evangelical. We believe that God's word is inspired. He speaks to us. It's relevant today. So we don't need to think, oh, what's God saying to me? Read the Bible. Then you'll find out what God's saying to you. But sometimes He speaks through prophecy in a particular way to help you and shape you in your gift or your ministry or the direction of your life. He reveals His will. Sometimes He does it through godly leadership. Sometimes He does it through the one anothering of church life. And in Antioch, there were prophets. Maybe it was through a prophetic word here. But the Holy Spirit commissioned Barnabas and Saul and sent them on the way. But it was the church that released them to go. I want to tell you this. Here, Jubilee Church, Shepparton, the Holy Spirit is not passive regarding your mission and your ministry. He is not disinterested. It's not as if He's pushed you on your way and say, right, make your own way on. The Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus has promised for Him to be with us. And the warnings to churches later on in Revelation, sometimes because they've abandoned the Spirit or the first love. We need to be those who are realizing the Holy Spirit is not passive. He's going to speak. I hope He's not passive this morning. I'm sure He's not. I hope you will be encouraged in using your talent or your gift. Not just whether you're going on mission like Barnabas and Saul were, but in your faithful serving, using your gift. You might be gifted in fixing carriage clocks. Well, isn't that a wonderful example of how we have different talents? It's not in the Bible. I don't find it anywhere in the Bible. But what a great opportune gift, right? To help Dave out of his depression this morning. Because it wasn't working. You know, you might be good at fixing laptops. You might be. Now, sometimes we do these things and get paid for them. But sometimes we just make them available in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not passive. He's speaking and He encourages you. And the other thing we notice here, this church was not passive. When the Holy Spirit spoke, they responded well. When He spoke, they responded. Said, right, we will do something about this. John Stott says, the Spirit sent them out by instructing the church to do so. And the church sent them out having been directed by the Spirit to do so. This is a good balance, a healthy corrective to two extremes. What are two extremes that we need to avoid? Believers who claim direct personal guidance without any reference to God's word or to others around them. Now that happens. It does happen. You have people like Jackie Pullinger that heard from God and goes and does a great work and no one was with her. But she was a pioneer. She was going beyond the bounds of what other people had done to that. So I'm not saying it's impossible for God to speak to you and other people not to hear it. But most of all, and mostly, when God speaks to you, you have fellowship with others on it. And it's affirmed. It's no good you saying, well, I'm a Bible teacher. You know, if other people don't recognize, and if you do get up on the platform, right, you can't put three words together. So there's something there that affirms your gift. I remember talking to a guy many years ago, and he says, oh, I've had a prophecy. And what's the prophecy? I'm going to be a Bible teacher. I said, well, are you reading your Bible? He said, no. I said, well, it isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. And I wasn't trying to put him down, but there's got to be a reality in what we claim is our gifts just then. And there's an accountability. So this partnership here is a kind of healthy corrective to us saying, well, God's spoken to me. I don't care if nobody else believes it or hasn't heard it. God's spoken to me. This is what I'm going to do. Now, hopefully, there'll be one to help you through that period. And the other danger is the church acts like a secular institution. And you continue to make decisions and shape the church without any reference to the Holy Spirit. Without any sort of kind of blowing of the Holy Spirit upon certain things, upon certain gifts and so on. So we do see a church in functional partnership with the Holy Spirit. Individuals do hear from God, but safety and integrity is found in accountability to the Holy Spirit. And it is the responsibility of every local church, especially leaders, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to discover its particular and peculiar calling and the special opportunities and gifts God has placed within that local church. So it's not just about leadership gifts. It's about all of us and our gifts. Paul and Barnabas went to do a mighty work, but that could only happen because people in Antioch used their gifts as well and stepped up and helped. So it's important for every local church to take these things seriously. It's also important for us as individuals to risk and to make available the gifts and talents that God has given you. What for you, what your strengths are. And make those available, not for a position of status or notice or fame, but for the blessings of others. God blesses us so that we can bless others. So in the Antioch church, the Holy Spirit speaks, and the leaders with the church confirm His inspiration and direction. So the local church is not a context for self-appointment. You don't appoint yourself. It's not also a context where there is heavy control, where no one can express a gift or a hope or a desire. It's not a context where status trumps gifts. We want the gifts. Years ago, you can see the historical films where church life was all about status. You had your own pew. Just then, if you were from the nobility, you had your own pew, and other people weren't guaranteed a seat in church. And that's sad. I can understand how that came about, because these rich people are often sponsors of the church. But the truth is this, we don't want status to inhibit the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you might feel, well, I'm known within the church. I've been here a long time. Or you might feel, I'm not known. I've only been for a short time. Most of all, we want you and your gifts to be developed and used. It's not a context, the local church, where status quo is protected from prophetic input. We want God to speak. If we are to bring apostolic ministry and prophetic ministry to churches, it must come as a loving threat to the existing status quo. So as I serve other churches, I don't go to churches looking to pull down and destroy. I look to build up. But sometimes you can ask questions. Sometimes you can challenge the status quo. Not because I feel it's my responsibility, but in some way those things are good to challenge. So we don't just keep like an institution and say, well, this is how we are, we stay the same, but God moves. And even today you're seeing some transition, which is all good. Whether people are standing aside or stepping up, it's all good. It's healthy. So we don't just maintain the status quo. We're open to the feelings of people, but also prophetic input. And the church is not just managed, but it's charismatically led, and it's open to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can speak. We want functional partnership. Will this church have a functional partnership with the Holy Spirit? Pray that you do. First of all, we honor God's word. We read God's word, how he sets up our salvation through faith in Jesus, grace, not law, and how we come to be all priests before God, and we play our part. We honor eldership and leadership and gifts, but we're all to play our part. And my encouragement to you today is use your gift. Persevere in your gift. Develop your gift. And it's a context, a local church, where these things happen. It's a place, a community of faith where gifts and talents are encouraged. I want to speak particularly just now to those who have a prophetic gift. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I should really ask if you think you're going to get one, because that will prove whether you're a prophet or not. But the truth is this, right? New Testament teaching, and we believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today, for building up the church, for the blessing of others. We try and use those. We want to be employing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not for ourselves, but for the building up of the church. And I particularly want to encourage those with a prophetic gift. Paul teaches he would want all to prophesy. So we can all bring a word. Sometimes it might be a word of encouragement, a word of clarity. Sometimes it can be a word that shapes a life or shapes a church or challenges a status quo. We don't bring words to condemn, but we want prophets to be available within the church. Not just coming to you, but arising within the church. I know sometimes it's difficult to be a prophet within your own church, but I want to encourage those who have a prophetic gift. Can I encourage you to prophesy? I'm going to be here next week at your prayer meetings, but I'm looking right now to spoil them. I want to encourage you prophets to come alive and prophesy next week. Right? Seek God. Say, God, is there something I should share? And then, you know, the safety net is this. It's going to be weighed anyway. Do you understand? If you have a funny word about a penguin on a unicycle that no one can understand, then hopefully some people around you are going to say, that doesn't make sense. Right, but we'll see. We'll see. But I want to encourage you, if you know that God speaks to you for the benefit and blessing of others, for the encouragement, comforting, and strengthening of others, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. I think we lack encouragement. Sometimes we lack strengthening. Sometimes we lack comfort because people with prophetic gifts go quiet and don't risk their gift. So I want you to see the gift and the benefits and the risk of prophecy. Each part has a gift, a contribution, and the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you in it. Not just the greater gifts. I think I put down some of the gifts. You mean that's probably too small for you, but I can go through. There's all sorts of gifts, and this isn't exhaustive. There's other gifts that are in Scripture, but these particularly come from Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians. Gift of apostolic mission, ministry, prophets, teachers, working of miracles, healing, helps, administration, tongues, interpretation of tongues, leadership gift. It talks about it in Romans 12. If you've got a gift of leadership, do it diligently. Mercy, discerning spirit, encouragement, pastoral gifts, an evangelistic gift, a gift of faith, of serving others, of giving, of wisdom, hospitality, a word of knowledge, and many others. And God has given these to us. You won't be short of gifts, because I believe with each local church that's open to God and His Spirit, then God is willing to equip people who are then willing to be obedient. But you might be saying, well, Malcolm, I can't exactly see my gift in there. It might be something different. How do you know what your gift is? Well, I want to ask these questions to you. Has God spoken to you? Has God spoken to you about something that you feel, oh, I feel something quickened within me when maybe someone prayed for you, or is there something in your heart? Do you understand that you feel you want to be involved in, or you've got a burden for, or something like that? Can you enjoy doing it? Because I don't think God gives us things that we don't really enjoy and feel some measure of comfort in it, even though there's a risk in it. You enjoy doing it. Also, will you sacrifice sometimes ease and comfort for the sake of that gift? If your gift is serving, you need to forget yourself and serve others. If it's prophecy, you'll need to forget yourself and just say what you feel God has given you to say. It's risky, it's costly. Also, will you persevere in it? Because sometimes you start using a gift and we don't immediately see the fruits and the benefits. It might be a bit awkward for us, but God is growing us in a gift. Is there good fruit coming from it? That's a good sign. That eventually, or hopefully, sooner rather than later, we see evidence of people being blessed by you using your gift. And also, is it clearly recognized and affirmed by significant believers? Not just your best friend, but those who you respect within the church, maybe leadership, who can give you room and resources to use your gift. So I want to say, risk your gift. Don't bury it. What has God given you, brothers and sisters? We're talking about being in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And in this situation, in this church, Antioch Church is a growing church. The Holy Spirit speaks and says, set apart Barnabas and Saul for this work. Now, our danger is we can think, oh, that's just the Barnabas and Sauls. I don't believe that. I believe God also wants us set apart for the work that He's called us to. What are you really good at? Fixing clocks? Helping people? Just giving a lift to somebody? There's no greater in some ways or lesser gifts, even though the Bible talks about the greater gifts of prophecy and so on. We can all use our gifts for the blessing of others. Whatever your talent or skill is, I want to tell you this, God's behind it. And God's with it. And God wants you to honor Him and bless others with those gifts. This is what it says in 1 Peter 4, and I'll finish with these. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Then it says in Ephesians 2, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. I want to encourage you, have a corporate, a church, and have a personal partnership with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Be open to Him speaking to you. Read His Word. Get to know what He wants for you and your life. And know this, that the Holy Spirit will encourage you and empower you in your mission and ministry gifts. And be a church that affirms and releases gifts as appropriate. In Hebrews 10:24, it says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Are you all available to step up? You might be getting older, you might be going through an illness, but inside, say, yes, Lord, I'm available. Let's stand. You might be in a season where you're thinking, I need to hand something over. That's fine. But keep your heart available for how God wants to use you. It's not just about a position. It's about your heart. I'd like to pray for you, okay? Father, thank You for this church. Thank You for the many, many people who serve, who use their gifts and their talents. Thank You, Lord, there's not a dearth of serving in this church. Thank you for faithfulness, as we've heard, for people serving for 30, 40 years and people coming recently and getting stuck in. We thank you so much for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're clear in your word about how we should walk our way. But we also know you call us to some peculiar and particular ways of serving you, different gifts and talents and opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that you will find within each person's heart here this morning an openness to continue to serve you and a willingness to use whatever you've put within them for the blessing of others. We want a partnership with you, Holy Spirit. And I want to pray, Lord, that next week's week of prayer will be a dynamic time of seeing you, but also hearing from you as well. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.